Your pressure playing catch, time up, corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dead buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive Dads.
Here it is. Oi, there we are.
Oi there.
Oi.
Oi.
What's happening to your face?
So, we're recording this in advance, but it's the day after the election. So I'm recording right now. Like, this is the show.
Uh-huh.
That's my way of telling you and also the audience. So that's news to both of you that this episode will come out the day after. Well, the day after Election Day, I should say that. We don't know how
right.
the election's actually going to last or if the results will be in right away or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But this episode will air the day after the election. Nathan Kress, how do you feel as I go to look for a background for my Zoom window?
Okay. Man, I can almost guarantee you I feel sad because no matter who seems to be like in the lead or what the Electoral College says or what the exit polls say.
Yeah.
Everyone is mad at each other right now.
Oh yeah.
You know, like this is, I don't know. It's
but
probably
dude,
a strong
they
statement
suck, though, dude, they suck though.
Yeah, they really do. Everyone else who disagrees
I'm
with
sorry,
what we think
man.
About things sucks.
They all suck so much. I'm mad at them and I'm mad at them. So they suck. I'm mad at them. And I'm going to be for a really long time, no matter how this goes. And I'm just being honest with you, bro.
We did not contribute to the problem, Brett.
Hey, listen, it's the day after the election. So the votes are already cast. And honestly, like, that's how I feel sort of like. This thing got so crazy, man,
yeah.
and got to the point where, I mean, look, hey, we don't even know. It might even be crazier because there's still time between, you know, while we're sitting here right now. But anyway, my point is it got so crazy, dude, and it got to the point where no matter what happened yesterday or what's going to happen in the next few days, if you were still supporting that guy or if you are still supporting that guy, I'm just like, yo, what have you not been watching? Like, it's so beyond politics for me.
Yeah.
That I just kind of go like anyone who is or did or still is or whatever, I just go like, I just don't know if we can really hang out. I don't know, man. That's just how I feel. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that feeling.
I think time heals all wounds, so I don't think I'll feel this way forever.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I would say. I think at this point it's a matter of letting this simmer down a little bit.
Simmer down.
So, oh, see, that's a better background.
Hey, did that
well, come? I guess, but everyone already did. So I hope maybe it says like, hope you voted.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true, I guess.
But hey,
Nathan, that doesn't work. They had to be postmarked by. I was going to say they're still going to count ballots after Election Day. I don't know. If
right. But yeah, they have to.
But the votes have to already be in. So yeah, you're right.
Right.
It should say voted.
Right.
Oh, I could find that. Hold on. I'll keep looking around.
Okay. Yeah. You keep looking. Yeah. I think that's going to be the potential like long-term risk of this is that in the last 4 years, there's just been this sort of political aberration that I think happened and a lot of people got on the train because they felt like it would serve them and serve like a limited number of views that they personally hold. And I think that is like rife opportunity for long-term division.
Yeah.
And that is the risk is like one presidency, 1 4-year period could set us up for like, who knows what down the road,
totally.
and make it really hard to reconcile with friends that we had. Exactly like you said, like, you know, I thought we were friends. How could you vote for this person where they're saying the exact same thing for opposite reasons? You know,
yeah.
I think that's the it's really easy to say, and I get feeling that way. Like, I've thought that too. And I've been having a lot of conversations with friends and family, most of them older and more conservative. And you know the demographic that I'm talking about. And they've like been sending me articles and stuff about, like, you know, here's why, yeah, just stuff that I've seen a million times, and stuff that there you go. Yeah, I voted. Perfect.
Picker behind me. There you go.
Sweet. Good for you. Good for you for voting.
Well, they've been trying to sway your vote.
Kind of. I think they've just been saying, like, here's my perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, my being speaking for them to say, like, this explains it. Cause, like, what it always seems to be is I don't support him as a person, you know, I just like the things that he did, like, for the economy, and there's more jobs, and there's more this, there's more that. And, you know, I think that those things are important. So I'm, you know, going to vote to, like, try to continue that. And the problem, like, my response generally is like, yeah, some of those are good things, but there's also 99 other things that I just think are more important right now.
Yeah.
You know, like a global pandemic with not much of a plan, and like massive social unrest and racial issues, and yeah, and like the whole white supremacy thing that just doesn't really seem to be getting dealt with.
Division. You know, yeah. And all fanning of, those flames, by the way, like,
exactly
fanning those flames. That's the thing that bothers me the most about it. It's like,
yeah,
yo, like, let's just at least call it out or whatever. Yeah, I don't know, man. Right. It's I think, look, like I said, I don't think it's gonna last forever. But I also think that people who, even if it's not turning out the way that I would like it to turn out, it's not going to last forever. And no. I think there will be a time when there's a time in history where everybody at one time or another is either on the right side of history, the quote unquote correct right side of history, or the quote unquote wrong side of history. Right.
Yeah.
And hopefully someday everyone's looking back at this going, man, I was really on the wrong side. I wish they'd see it sooner. Mm-hmm. I wish they could have seen it during this, or I hope they do see it someday, or, you know, on the social stuff that we're talking about, I think is mainly that. Politically, we could have political arguments all day long, talk about the deficit and all those types of things. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the human to human, just person to person social stuff. It's really bothersome to me, but
yeah.
Hey man, whatever. I don't know. It's going to be weird to listen back to this, cause we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So it bears the question, like, what are we going to talk about on this episode then?
I don't know. I mean, I think we can't really talk too much about this, because then it's just speculating on what we think happened, and that decision probably won't be made for another month anyway, because they're still going to be fighting it in the courts, and
my goodness,
you know, there's going to be accusations of like fraud and all that stuff. Yeah, but so I guess we should probably talk about other things other than to just remind people, like, hey, look, you know, we're supposed to all be in this together.
Yeah.
Let's get past this, and let's, you know,
let's all stop. Take a deep breath first.
Yes.
Yeah. Take a deep breath. Calm down. Yeah. Maybe get an AMB somewhere. Count to 10. Count to 10 days if you need to. Chill out. Hey, listen, we've all been sheltering in place anyway because of the pandemic. So maybe now, however this went, you have to kind of shelter in place to calm down a little bit, and you should be used to it by now. So turn on some Netflix, you know, calm down. Here, I have some suggestions for this episode, okay?
Okay. All right. Tell me.
Let's just talk about our lives and what's going on in our lives, devoid of the political climate or whatever is happening out there in society. And because, you know, life goes on. And so I have been teaching the boy how to ride a bike with no training wheels. And you have a pregnant wife that we need
to on. Yeah.
So why don't we get into some of those things and talking some just parenting stuff and some dad stuff, and I'm sure we'll get sidetracked 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
This is Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett, he's Nathan, and we both used to be on TV. This episode was recorded before the election, and we kind of covered it in our first segment. So if you missed it, check us out wherever you get podcasts. But we're not really talking election or politics on this episode because we don't really know what happened because we can't see into the future. Even though as dads, we like to believe that we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't. Nathan, I've been teaching my boy, my 5-year-old, almost 6 years old. And that's kind of why
I'm wow.
getting on with it here. I've been teaching him how to ride a bike with no training wheels.
Whew, that's big stuff, man.
Yeah. And I honestly feel like it's a little late. I feel like I should have done it a little bit ago. There's some of his little friends who have been riding them for a bit now. I honestly, like, if I could do it over again, I maybe would shave about a year off of this. I think he would be fine having done it now. But anyway, whatever, we can't live in the past. So I'm teaching him right now. We're in like our third day of no training wheels. And he's been riding the bike for a long time with training wheels, knows how to pedal, knows how to, you know, try to pedal backwards, which causes the brake. He knows it all. Okay. Yeah. He knows how to come down hills and stuff. So he's ready. And I just figured the best way to go for it is to just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, took the training wheels off, took them out in the street, did the hand under the seat thing. And then I just had to let go at a certain point, dude.
Ooh.
And it was scary.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Did he beef it? How long did it take before he beefed it?
Okay, so here's the thing. The first time I let go was maybe... Okay, so we live on a pretty flat street. So we went down off the driveway because the driveway is a little bit of a hill. And we went out into the street. It's evening. Not many cars coming by, of course, with the pandemic as well, you know, nobody's out there, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I was running sort of like holding onto the seat and running like a pretty long oval just like right in front of our house, so maybe 25-30 feet, and then kind of turn them around and run 25-30 feet the other way, turn them around. So we're just kind of doing this oval. Maybe did that like 3 times, telling him to pedal, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. And on like the third time through, I just let go. And he kept going, dude. Like, it was awesome.
Ah!
For about 16 feet. And then here's the thing. Then he started to kind of wobble. Mm-hmm. And I was just, and I stayed stationary after I let go. I didn't keep
looking next to
him. I just like stood there and kind of stood there with my hands on my knees because it was just so like, I think I just froze because I just didn't know what to do, sort of.
Yeah.
The crash was like nothing. It was so fine. Like, he sort of just stopped pedaling, started coasting, tipped over a little bit, caught himself with his own foot and like one hand, and like popped right back up. Didn't even go all the way down.
Dang.
And he had the most shocked look on his face. I had the most shocked look on my face, I'm sure. And he was like, "That was awesome." And I was like, "It was awesome." And then the very next time I let go, he only made it like 2 feet. Because there's something about not knowing that the person let go.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's so true. I remember that actually really clearly when I was taking the training wheels off with my dad. And it was actually kind of sweet. He had a sort of a DIY rig where he took a metal pole that came up from the seat. And I don't know if he just like zip tied it onto the bike or whatever, but it was like at his height so that he wasn't bending forward. He could just like run next to me and just hold on to it. And then he would just slowly like open up his grip and eventually he would just be running next to me, but he wouldn't be holding on. And it was behind me, so I couldn't tell.
That'd be easier on the back because I'm not as young as I used to be.
Exactly. Yeah. My back is junk. So I need to get that rig from him.
Yeah. That's a great hack right there. Great dad.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it helped me a lot because exactly like you said, I think I would be in that position where I would just let go and then just stop and watch.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're too far away for you to help them when they're going down. So then you're like, oh shoot. Hold on, buddy.
But the crashing is part of it. He's going to crash. They're going to crash. And I should also say, before we started doing it, a little thing that I did that I think was smart is because he'd been riding with the training wheels, the training wheel bike never falls over. That's the thing, right? So even when it's stationary. So we had to do like a quick little tutorial of like, put your foot down, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. And then he's like, and then I was like, so the first time he put his foot down, then the weight of the bike was against him. So he immediately just toppled over. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's kind of heavy. You have to hold it up. And he's like, oh. So before we even started riding it, it was the concept of like, you need to put your feet down. Yeah. So I think that was important to teach as well.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, hey, that, maybe that made the falling better too.
Yeah. That's what they do when you get your motorcycle license. You know, they teach you how to like get your foot down and
hold the bike.
Keep that 800 pounds from falling over on you. So yeah, that makes sense to do that. I never really would have thought about that, of like doing sort of tip over training before you get to that point, rather than just sort of like leaving them to their devices.
Feel the weight of it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. I think what worked best for me along with that like pole thing was basically my dad running next to me rather than letting me go, because I know for me, that would be the hardest thing, is like when you realize they're way back there and they're saying, keep paddling, then all of a sudden you're like, no one's holding me up. And then you go, ugh! And that's when you go over. For me, it was great because my dad was able to say, like, we did sort of that loop kind of around the street, and he was like, hey, you want to know something? I'm like, what? I wasn't holding you that whole time. I was just running next to you. And that was that, like, really? No way. I did it all by myself and blah. And that made me, I think, a lot more confident for the next time, because I was like, well, I already did the whole loop, you know, and I didn't fall. So, like, I don't have to be looking behind me or suddenly feel unconfident now that I don't have, you know, something like holding me up. So that's another like kind of strategy too, that makes that a little bit easier.
So this is the thing. I had to switch to that strategy because like I said, the first time I let go, he kind of had no idea I let go, and he was great. He was balanced. He went like I said, I don't know, 15 feet, 20 feet before he just kind of tipped over. It was great. Then the second time, he only made it like a foot and a half because he knew I let go, and he freaked out, and he gets overconfident, you know, whatever. So that whole first evening, it was funny because from the very first ride, he sort of reverted backwards and then sort of got it back a little, but then it was too dark and time to go inside. So that's how the first day went. Second day, same thing. First ride, crushing it, then sort of reverted, but got further than the first day. Tonight is going to be the third night, and I think there'll be more progression. And so I had to switch to the like faking them out that I'd let go. So now I'm doing all the running next to the bike.
Right.
I just do the hand under the seat so that he can't even see that I'm holding on in the first place. So I do hand under the seat, and then I just sort of let go and run with my hand like behind the seat. And I caught him once last night because it was going to get bad. Like that front wheel went sideways and I was like, whoop, and I was able to catch it. So I was glad I was able to do that one. Another pro tip, I've been having him put on a little hoodie and pants, of course, because of the skin, knees, and elbows.
Right.
And I feel like that has been saving a few scrapes, which is, but we've had a few tears. You know, there's been a couple of setting the bike down, not so easy. We had a foot get caught in the front wheel.
Yeah.
On the way down. Again, no injuries, nothing that you would need to call a doctor or anything, but just there is a piece of me, dude. I want to kind of talk about this a little bit, because there is a piece of my brain that's like, going down and getting a little scrape is good. And I'm kind of like, I'm not pushing him towards falling or anything, of course. Right. But there is a piece of me that's like, you got to learn how to fall so that you can learn to get back up. Nathan.
Yeah, Batman.
You know what I mean? Like, honestly, I took both kids hiking a week ago or something, and there were these big rocks they could climb. Like, you know, these big California, like it looks like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon or something, sort of like deserty rock, whatever. And I'm starting to like not just stand right under them and wait for them to fall. At least with the boy, the girl's younger, so that's a little different. But for him, like if he's not too high off the ground, if it's a sandy bottom down there, I'm like, I'm kind of. Is it bad if I say I'm secretly kind of hoping he takes a few tumbles?
No. No.
We all did.
Yeah.
It's hard to let go of that, though. It's hard to let go of that protective instinct a little bit. Yeah. But I am feeling myself going like, yeah, like a cut on the knee wouldn't be so bad right now. It'll be superficial. He'll learn to get through it. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
COVID, I'm
completely with you. My problem is I struggle finding the line of like, okay, how far is too far before I do step in and I'm standing right there, because now we're at the point where like, okay, that's too high. You know, I don't want you to fall from that height.
Yeah.
You know,
not fucking arm height. There's a fucking arm height and there's a skin knee height.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know the difference.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is too, I have my own personal like woundings from my childhood where like I had easy things happen to me that should have just been a little bonk, but that ended up being like medical emergencies because I'm just klutzy and accident prone. So like when I take Rosie to the playground, I'm hypersensitive that she's going to slip, fall on her face, and knock her two front teeth out, because that's what happened to me when I was her age. So I struggle because like I know that she can do what she's about to do. I know she can climb that ladder.
Yeah.
But all it takes is one slip where she goes teeth first into that thing. And, you know, it's not a, I'd love for her to just get like a skin knee or fall a foot and land on her butt and that kind of ring her bell a little bit. But I don't, it's so hard to control how severe the injury is going to be. So I'm a little bit more likely to be sort of hovering a little bit and standing over just because of something that I know happened to me.
Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett. He's Nathan. And I'm currently teaching my son how to ride a bike with no training wheels. And so Nathan and I are talking about that moment as a parent when you kind of make the decision to sort of let them fall because you know they're not going to get hurt too bad. And learning to get back up is a life lesson. So, but we're talking about where to draw that line. Yeah, man. I think when something's an accident, like a trip and fall that comes out of nowhere, mm-hmm. sometimes the injury can be worse though, because you weren't prepared to put your hands out and stuff like
that. Yeah.
Like there is kind of, to me, maybe there's a little difference between that and like riding a bike or playing a sport or climbing a climbing wall or something like that, because you're kind of like, even if the kids don't really know it or aren't prepared for it, like they kind of know they're doing something where there's the potential to fall. And I think you might fall in a different way subconsciously, or maybe I'm just an idiot and that's just my hope. I don't know.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think I do assume kind of like how you're treating your boy different from your girl. Like, I don't know what age that happens where they start to understand like inherent risk.
Yeah. Not because of an activity, by the way. Whoa, careful. Not because of gender.
No, not because of that.
Don't
because
come after 2020. It's because of age. She's younger.
I'm ageist. What can I say? Yeah. So I think that is you're absolutely right. Like there's definitely sort of a point where they'll start to understand like, okay, I'm doing something that is sort of dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I have to be more conscious of what I'm doing. We're like, and we've actually kind of started doing that with Rosie. We've sort of introduced the word dangerous to her.
Oh yeah.
Just to say like, you know, like when we're at the grandparents' house and the wood burning stove is running and we say like, okay, you know, you can stand next to it, but you cannot touch it. That's dangerous. It'll burn you. Like she's starting to understand that, but we're also putting that activity on, or we're putting that word on certain activities or
you,
like,
what? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Making me think that if we could go all the way back to the beginning and use dangerous, I think that's so much different than just yelling, don't touch hot.
Yeah.
Because then hot has this weird negative connotation. Then like when you're talking about food, like my son, like sometimes he wants something because he's like, it's hot. And I'm like, no, it's warm.
Right.
Oh man. Like, the concept of dangerous versus, yeah, that's really interesting. I wish I could go all the way back and just say, no, don't touch, dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
So much different than the other thing.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I get it because especially, I know exactly what you're talking about because especially at the beginning, you're trying to use the shortest possible words to explain things.
Yes.
Because you want them to be words that they fully grasp and understand and can hopefully say sooner rather than later.
True.
So you don't want to say dangerous. Three syllables is way more than hot, you know? So that I know, I totally understand why that's the motivation or one of the motivations for saying like as simply as possible.
Yeah.
But that's also why, like, I really do think at about 2 years old is when you can start kind of doing that. Like, we started introducing Dangerous. Recently we started doing Consequence.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So like
conceptual things, concept,
yeah,
rather than
exactly
the physical, like hot or what, cold, whatever, like the
right,
conceptual, right. The concept of it is interesting. And it's interesting to think about language in that way. Like, you could shorten it to danger, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That makes it sound cool though.
Yeah.
Watch out, danger. Well, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you know, also too, like sometimes when I'm snowboarding and stuff, I go past the part where it says it's dangerous, and I don't like squash that because that's fun sometimes.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe we just keep teaching it the way it gets taught, but either way, it's
interesting
to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I think when you're doing like an extreme sport like snowboarding and it says dangerous, at that point you're going to be of the age where you can judge your own personal like skills and abilities. So I think like, especially for this age, saying like, don't stand on that really tall bar stool, that's dangerous, you know, is like, I for a while, dangerous can just mean dangerous, you know, it's, and as they get older, they'll learn that that's kind of a relative term where like, it's dangerous to go like to the, I don't know, to swing too high.
Yeah.
But once you have the skill and ability to hold on really tight, no matter what, you can swing really high. It's technically dangerous, but you can do it based on your skill and ability.
Do we just spend our lives trying to do all the things our parents told us not to do when we were
pretty
young?
Much.
And are they, is that what it is? Like, so you're saying, don't stand on that high bar stool. And then someday her friends in college will be like, get up on that bar stool. So, like, it's so funny, right? Like, we've become what happened to us. And then we're just spending our whole lives doing the things they said don't do. That's dangerous. Yeah, exactly. That's why I want to do it now. That's hot.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. I kind of want to touch it.
Yep. But then you're at the full frame of mind where you fully accept the consequences of, well, that was hot and I touched it. And now I have less skin on my finger than I used to a minute ago. So you do learn a little bit quicker.
Hey, I want to get a full pregnancy update from you.
Oh, okay.
What's going on with London? How everything's going? You know, all that kind of stuff. But I want to do it after the break, though. So,
we probably should do that. Okay. All right.
Hold on. This is Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. We will be right back. Welcome back to Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett Davern. He's Nathan Kress. He's somewhere over there across the internet. And we both used to be on TV shows, and now we're dads and we have a podcast, even though sometimes we're still on TV shows, which is fun. Except just, you know, not lately. It's been a pandemic, all right? Get off my back. I'm still auditioning. Leave me alone.
I love you defending yourself to your audience.
preemptively, too, because, like, he's on my case. I'm just saying it just in case, you know?
Yeah.
This will just serve as public record someday. That's all.
Right. Exactly. It's for posterity.
This episode, we've been talking about all kinds of stuff. Like, I took the training wheels off the bike of my kid and let him crash in the street and was kind of happy to see it happen because, you know, you got to learn to get back up again. This is a pre-recorded episode, so we have no idea what's going on out there in the world politically or where you find yourselves today. But wherever you are, we hope that you're happy and safe and healthy and all that, truly, genuinely. Nathan, your wife is pregnant and you guys are expecting a baby.
Jeez.
What's the update there? What's going on?
Oh, man, lots of fun stuff. So for one, the cravings have continued in a disgusting way.
What are you jonesing for?
Okay. Me, sleep, but, she started. So half the problem is she's having so much trouble finding things that she can stomach. Like, especially if we got food from a restaurant or something, it would sound so good on the menu, but then she would look at it and just go like, I can't do it. So she's sort of just been in like scavenger mode where she'll just find the most random stuff and just like grab it out of the fridge. So we were, that's literally what it is. Like, it's just jars of stuff laying around. She recently got into, this was, I think, maybe the worst one so far. Pickled capers and peanut butter.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even like on bread or.
Nope. Just by the spoonful.
Which goes on the spoon first?
The capers.
And then she dips it into the jar of peanut butter.
I think it was the peanut butter was on a finger.
Okay.
And then she had the spoon that was just going into the jar of capers.
Uh huh.
And then just sort of like double fisting that, you know.
I don't think I've ever eaten a caper by itself out of the jar ever.
Yeah. Nor have I. Nor should anyone, really.
I don't want to.
Yeah. So, but yeah, she was just like shoveling them and then found a jar of peanut butter. I was like, oh, I'm doing that.
Oh,
so,
like, enjoyed the mixture though?
Apparently, because it didn't stop for a while. It just kept going.
Ay, ay, ay.
So, yeah, that was disgusting. I had trouble watching that one.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So that was that. The other funny thing is with food is that a lot of the time, and I think we talked about this, she has had so much trouble preparing her own food and cooking food because seeing all the ingredients sort of getting mushed and plopped together is like really nauseating for her. So what's had to happen now, she has things that sound really good, but she can't do them herself and she can't watch them being prepared. So like I had to, she was sitting on the couch and I was sitting at the kitchen table, which is like behind the couch, and she had to watch TV to have her focus on something else while I was reaching around and handing her like a cracked black pepper cracker with avocado smeared on it. And I think like cucumber or something. Yeah, I think it was cucumber and avocado. But she couldn't, she tried to do it herself where she would like dip the cracker in the avocado and it would make her gag. So I had to like prepare, I had a little plate and I was like sous chefing for her putting this whole thing together. And then when I would see that she was, I would look around and see when she was done chewing, I would just sort of take one and kind of reach around her mouth. Yeah. Like she couldn't look at it. But it tasted good, but she also couldn't prepare it either. So I've been having to prepare food
by eating. Yeah. So, you know,
exactly. Yeah. So we really had to adjust. It's quite a new reality, but fortunately,
reach around. I like it.
Oral reach around.
She gave you the work around, reach around, oral reach around.
Yeah, in the mouth.
The work around, oral reach around. There you go.
Yeah, that sounds scientific.
Boom. Hashtag. Somebody start hashtagging it.
And don't post pictures. But yeah, so that fortunately, a lot of that's been in the last couple of weeks. It's gotten a little bit better in recent days. And fortunately, we're back from Michigan now. And we're finally, she's able to get some sleep, which is a lot better. Because I think her problem is when she doesn't get really good sleep, she's much more likely to be nauseous. And now that that's happening, it's getting a little bit better. And as we work our way into the second trimester, everything sort of dies down a little bit. So we're hoping it continues that way. But yeah, the cravings have been pretty disgusting.
And the nausea is only from like food, or is there like morning sickness? How's she feeling overall?
It'll just sort of happen at random spurts. But again, a lot of it's tied to just how much sleep she's getting. If she had a really rough night's sleep, whether it's because she woke up hungry, because that's been happening a lot. We literally, I don't know if I told you this, we have a mini fridge next to the bed now.
Perfect.
So she has all kinds of stuff in there, and her whole end table is just filled with snack stuff.
If I ever ran for president of these United States, my platform would be a mini fridge next to every bed in America. Because the world's greatest nightstand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serves all the purposes.
Yeah, dude. We should start designing like our own mini fridge nightstand and then sell it. We could make a fortune.
You know, kind of brilliant. Yeah, like a little fridge portion with like a tiny freezer portion if you need like a late night popsicle. But then it's surrounded. Sometimes people need a late night popsicle, man.
Hey, it's the rad nightstand in case you need a late night popsicle.
Yeah, the rad stand.
Yeah, a little freezer, like a little freezer compartment is nice, actually. That's a good idea.
Yeah, so tiny little freezer. And then, but the whole thing is like a wood cabinet. Yeah. And then there's a drawer on top.
Ultra quiet.
Yeah, ultra quiet. And it still has the drawer so you can actually put like nightstand stuff in it. And it's got a wood top so you can put a lamp on there. You can put your books on there.
We make it look nice. We make it look classy, man. We make it look
classy.
Classy, all right? We're talking about a classy nightstand here, all right? Yo, that's like a character that's a nightclub owner who also sells nightstands.
That are fridges.
Hey, I got a classy nightclub and I sell classy nightstands. There's mini fridges in there. All right. You love it. what's that guy's name? We got to name that guy. That's a character.
Reggie.
If I ever audition for SNL, that's Reggie, the nightclub owner who also sells nightstands on the side. Mm-hmm. But his nightclub is called The Nightstand. It's a whole thing.
The one anyway. Nightstand.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Wait, hold on. I want to keep going on this nightstand thing for a second because we should really.
Let's riff. This.
It's classy, but you plug it in. It's nice and quiet, right? We got to get it quiet. And then I think like all good refrigerators, it should have a little water spigot. Maybe you fill up a glass on the side, you know? But again, all classy. We keep it like you can't
really classy.
Piping and stuff. We make it nice and classy.
Yeah,
and,
like stainless steel accents and stuff. Yeah. And like, you know, it's like magnetic. So you can put like the pizza delivery magnet on there.
Oh, yeah.
So like at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're like, I want a pizza. And you just look over and boom, there it is.
Totally. Yeah. That's the college version too. Cause that's,
right. Yeah.
You know, oh, wait. There's TVs on fridges too. So maybe we could put a TV. I mean, maybe we're getting a little too.
Well, yeah, you'd have to really crane your neck to look down at your end table nightstand.
All right, look, hey, I went too far. All right, I went too far.
Look, no, there's no bad idea. At this point, we're just, you know, we're spitballing, we're brainstorming.
It was too much. We need a. You gotta have a drawer still for your stuff.
Yeah,
your kids aren't supposed to go through. That still has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also a refrigerator.
Yeah. Oh wow.
And it's classy.
Yeah, speaking of stuff in your drawer that your kids aren't supposed to go through.
Yeah.
something funny happened the other day.
This is still London's pregnancy update, by the way. Just in case anyone was wondering, this is still the pregnancy update.
Kinda.
Oh.
This one's not as related. But yeah, that's pretty much the pregnancy update. Just a lot of gross food.
Don't worry.
That's pretty much it. But yeah, this one was fun. I was getting ready, and this will end with a question for you. I was getting ready one day, and I brought Rosie upstairs with me, and she was just like sitting on our bed watching Doc McStuffins, probably, and she was being super quiet and super chill. And I was like, "Wow, this is amazing! I'm actually able to get a lot of stuff done, and I'm getting ready uninterrupted." And then I go in there, and I don't know where she found it, but she had a bottle in her hands. And a lot of it was a bottle of slippery stuff.
Your daughter found your tube of lube.
Yes.
Hey, listen, you got to put a lock on the nightstand.
I didn't know that. I know that now.
You need one of our classy nightstands. It's also a refrigerator. That's being sold down at the nightclub, The Nightstand, which I also own, by the way. Come on down. It's in New Jersey. Real classy place.
Reggie's place. Reggie's one night stand.
Wait, so Rosie found the lube.
Yeah, she got into the lube. Okay. And fortunately she didn't get too far with it. It was like it's a pump bottle. So
wow. Nothing at Costco? What is
it? No, fortunately it came with two. It came with the normal and it came with the pump for, you know, for like faster action.
I got an idea about my nightstand all of a sudden. Who am I?
You know, with a lube dispenser.
You know how like in a real classy wet bar in a nice mansion, you got like a beer tap, you know? No, our nightstand's going to have a lube tap, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Reach over, you pull the handle, bada bing, lube comes out. You pull the other handle, hand sanitizer. You see, we take care of everything. We're classy over here.
But don't get them mixed up because that would hurt.
That burns. Hey, listen, you got to fall down to get back up. You know what I mean?
That's true. You got to rub hand sanitizer on your nethers to learn not to rub hand sanitizer on your nethers.
We don't label it on purpose. You know, you mess up. Hey, that's your fault. Oh, hey, oh, don't come after me, huh?
Just give it a little sniff. Why don't you?
I love this character. I'm not going to be able to stop doing this guy.
You're going to have to be Reggie for a while now to get this out of your system. But yeah, so fortunately it was like she definitely got it on herself and on the bed. So that was a little bit of a cleanup process. But it did remind me. You know, maybe we should be more careful now that she's getting into drawers and stuff, you know, how we hide things away. So I guess that's have your kids ever gotten into your stuff, whether or not it's that? I'm not going to presuppose what you've got. But do they ever have that phase where they got into stuff where you were like, "Oh, I need to they're at that age. I need to be more careful about this."
No, they haven't found the door to the dungeon yet.
Hmm.
So it's good. I mean,
well, that's because it's behind the bookcase, right?
Behind the bookcase, which is also behind the, it's a Murphy bed, actually.
Oh, convenient.
No, it's a bed. Yeah. It's a bed that folds down that has a door behind it. And then that leads to the dungeon. So the bed's right on the out. It's perfect. It's right there. Convenient, man. Real
classy. Very classy.
Very classy. Yeah. No, I don't know. They've never actually gotten into anything like that. But, you know, every once in a while, especially before the pandemic, Mom and Dad would have some friends over, you know, and Mommy and Daddy's friends, they like to partake in things that aren't just a beer from time to time. Hey, I'm not here to judge. All right. I don't judge. All right.
I'm classy like that.
You come on down to the nightstand, you do whatever you want. I don't judge. All right. And every once in a while, your kids, you know, they wake up and they're like looking for you and stuff. And, and sometimes they say like, what's that smell in the air? It smells like when you say there's a skunk in the backyard, you know, a little herby out here, you know, and I go, hey, listen, people are into what they're into. I don't know. That's really like the only situation. But honestly, we do what I've said we do on this show before, which is we have a real like nice parental way of getting out of it without exactly lying, but without giving too much information, which is just like, oh, you know, that's just a skunk.
Yeah, not lying.
I don't know. I don't really remember what we said, but I think it's just something along the lines of like, yeah, well, here, let's just go to the bathroom and go back to bed. You just sort of ignore it.
Yeah.
Is really
shut up, kid.
The best thing to say. Hey, why don't you shut up? All right. Whoa, Reggie, calm down.
We're having a classy party back here. Everybody's doing what they want to do.
Hey, listen, you want to smoke? You want to drink? You want to get some lube next to the bed out of the nightstand? Whatever you want to do. It's classy. What do you want?
Everything's fine.
Hey, let's move on to, you got a fan question over there that I want to touch on before we run out of time.
I sure do. Okay. So this one came from a listener named Haley on Instagram. Thanks for the DM, Haley. She says, hey there, love the podcast. Woo woo. I was listening to the most recent podcast and I'm a tad confused after Brett said he was driving in 1999. Everything online says he was born in 1992. How is it possible that you were driving, Brett, when you were 7? Of course, this could be some classic Brett sarcasm that often goes right over my head, but it didn't sound like a joke. Help, LOL.
The world's greatest email. Haley.
Okay. She's a smart cookie.
Where do I even begin? Okay, so you were probably listening to the episode where we were talking about Will Smith's getting jiggy with it, which, by the way, just one of my favorite episodes of all time. One of my favorite songs of all time. Na, 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 na. Because I was talking about driving around when that song came out, and that song came out in 1999. I was fully 16 in 1999, Haley. The internet lies. I was not born in 1992. Here's the thing. You can write whatever you want on Wikipedia, and that's not to say that I wrote that on Wikipedia, because I didn't, but somebody out there, hold on, let's back all the way up. You want the real story? You want the real story?
Yes. I've been looking at your face going, really, Brett? Really?
No. I really didn't write it. Here's what's up. When Awkward first came out, we were doing interviews and doing press and stuff all the time, whatever you do when you're on a TV show. And there was some article that was written where the writer wrote that I was 20 years old when I was not 20 years old. I don't know why they wrote that. I didn't say that. It wasn't a quote from me. They just, the way that they wrote the article, they said, we sat down with the 20-year-old actor to discuss his work on Awkward. I didn't say I was 20. I don't know if MTV told them I was 20, but I definitely wasn't 20, but they put that in there. And so whoever wrote the Wikipedia page used that article as the reference on Wikipedia. Okay. So they cited their sources and then they wrote that my birthday, cause they did the math at the time or whatever. And it was 1992 or 93 or whatever they came up with. Okay. Here's the thing. I've gone on Wikipedia so many times. I have signed in. I've made an account. I've done everything I can to just try to go in there and remove the wrong year, 1992 or 1993.
Yeah.
I just wanted to leave it the date because I don't need to put the real year either, but I'm definitely older than that. But I was just going to remove the year altogether. And I do it all the time. And then I go back a couple days later and it's switched back. And the reason they keep switching it back is because they say they're citing this credible source, because it was in like a big magazine or a big newspaper or whatever. I don't, might have been like Entertainment Weekly. I don't remember what it was, honestly. And Wikipedia keeps citing that. So it's this revolving door of like, it's out there in a way where everyone believes it as fact,
but
it's on a website where you can write whatever you want. And they're citing a writer who took it upon themselves to say it in the first place. So the long and short of it is that I'm definitely older than that. I was driving legally in 1999. You can do whatever math you want, but I'm generally about somewhere between 1 to 23 years older than you think I am. So there you go. That's the full story. And you know what, Nathan? I've even been kicked out of a bar before because of this Wikipedia page.
What?
The shortest of the longest of stories. I went to a, dude, oh my gosh, everybody, buckle up. This is Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I'm Brett, he's Nathan, and we're dads now, but we both used to be on TV, and I'm telling a story about one time when I got kicked out of a bar because of what the internet says my age is, which is not my real age. So I was back home in Seattle. MTV, like Awkward was on MTV. So I thought I was famous and everything, and I would get recognized. And so I, you know, whatever, F you, for a few years, I thought I was, don't judge me.
Anyway, hey man, been there.
My friends wanted to go, my friends from high school and everything that I grew up with, they wanted to go out and hang out and go to a bar or whatever. And cause I was back home and it was going to be fun. And there was this popular bar that was also a bowling alley, but it was really hard to get into. Sort of like a, one of those Lucky Strike type places, but more hometown and cool than that. Not as corporate. Anyway, whatever. But it was hard to get a lane reserved and everything. So I was like, watch this. I'm going to be Mr. Cool Guy MTV and get a lane, even though they're all sold out. Because that's what you can do sometimes when you're on a TV show. And I was feeling myself. I had a friend call the bar for me. It was actually Mrs. Davern, but she wasn't Mrs. Davern yet at the time, because you can't call the bar for yourself.
No, no.
You got to have your quote unquote assistant do it.
Yeah, I've done that.
So Mrs. Davern picks up the phone. She calls the bar. She's like, hey, my client, such and such, he's in town. He wants to come, blah, blah, blah. She makes me sound all cool and everything. And they're like, oh, that'd be awesome. We'll totally open up a lane, him and his friends, all this stuff. We get hooked up. It's awesome. So I'm like, telling all my friends, like, we got hooked up at this really cool place that's hard to get into. And I'm so stoked on it, right? We get there. We're going in the front door. Everyone's just handing the bouncer their ID like you do so they can check it. I'm, like, last in line. I show them my ID. It's my California real driver's license because it's real. And he looks at it. He's like, all right, cool. Have a good time, everyone. We go in. We go to our lane. We start bowling. We ordering drinks, whatever. We're drinking drinks, we're hanging out, having some beers, whatever, and everyone's having a great time. And the next thing I know, I get this like tap on my shoulder. I turn around, it's this guy, and he goes, hey Brett, I'm the manager, just wanted to come over and say hi, but also, man, like, I think you gotta go, dude. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, we can't have this tonight. And I went, can't have what? What are you talking about? And he goes, dude, I can't have you in here with a fake ID, man. And I especially can't have you drinking. So you got to go. And I went, hold on. Like, there's loud music. I thought like maybe one of my friends was like sending him over as a joke. Like, I didn't know. Maybe I'm so famous I'm being punked. No, I
didn't. Where's Ashton?
Where's Ashton at? No, I didn't think that of myself. But I thought it might be a joke for a second. So I was like, hold on. Fake ID, like, what are you talking about? I'm not in here with a fake ID. And then I see that he's serious. You know, he's no longer smiling and being nice about it. He's now going, like, has that look on his face where he's like, I'm not effing around anymore. Mm-hmm. And he also thinks he's older than me at this point, which is pretty funny too. And he's like, no, for real, man, you gotta go. He's like, your friends can stay, but you gotta go. And I go, dude, it's not a fake ID. What are you talking about? And he goes, I Googled you, bro. I Googled you. And I go, that's the internet, man. It's fake. I was like, I don't know. What are you talking? Like, he goes, it says you're born in 1992. And I was like, yeah, he's like, you're 20. I think it was maybe 2012 at this point or something. So he's like, you're 20 years old. And I was like, I am not 20 years old. That's not real. This is a real ID. And then he kind of gets a little sheepish. He's like, come to my office. So I go to the like club office of the, you know, like with fluorescent lighting. I'm like away from my friends. We're all having a great time. And we get out of the music and everything. And he's like, so what's going on? And I go, look, man, I was like, there's this Wikipedia page. It's all bullshit. It's not real. That's my real ID. I was like, call the cops, call them. I was like, if you really think it's fake, call the cops. But I was like, I'm not leaving and I'm not leaving my friends. So what are we going to do here? Basically, like I just sort of left him with this ultimatum of like, you either let me go back and hang out with my friends and trust that I'm a good guy who's not lying to you, or call the damn cops and they'll just tell you that you wasted a bunch of time. Pick one, you know?
Yeah.
And so he called the cops.
Good for him.
He called the cops. And listen, hey, I got the wrong club owner, you know? If I would have got Reggie, hey, this is a
class. Hey.
Hey, Brett, you know, hey, you look like a good guy. I'm a good guy. Just don't, you know, hey, buy one of my nightstands. Tell people to buy my nightstands. You'll be good. No, but this guy, all he did was call, though. He didn't have them come out. He just called. He read them the number. He told them it was California. They told him it was legit. And hey, bada bing, bada boom, there you go. But yeah, that Wikipedia page has been hounding me for years, man. It's a thorn in my side that will never go away, because and by the way, I've even said my real age in other interviews and then they don't even put it in there, so I can't even cite another article. Like, damn, man. I mean, maybe we should put this episode as the
There you go. It's literally your face saying your age. That's so funny. Anyway, but I get it though,
because question though, Haley, and that's the full story, and there you go.
That's a great question. I get it though, because I was born in 92 and I'm pretty sure I look older than you. So you just got one of those lovely, blessed baby faces, wow, and you're going to look 27 for the next 15 years. And that's just the end of it.
It's so, a weird thing though, right? Cause you have it too. You look younger than your age, and it's a weird thing to walk around like this, because you do get treated different, like in customer service situations or when you need help from someone or whatever. You do just kind of get treated like a punk kid, and you're like, hey, hold up, I'm 51. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Not actually 51, but you know what I mean. Do you find that though sometimes?
Sometimes. I think I don't really have too many of those interactions in person. They're more on the phone. And since I talk like a 55-year-old, usually they do, like, I swear, talking to my insurance company every time that they screw up a bill or do something wrong is like a full-on Olympic sport to me. And I love just like tearing it apart.
Man, you are bad.
I know. Oh, yeah. Full on. I've like offered to do it for my friends. Like, oh, you got a bad bill? Oh, I'll call them for you. I'll take care of it.
Dude,
because I'm really good at it.
I'm calling you next time, man.
You should. Straight up. That should be like my supplemental career at this point. Ugh.
Oh, that's great. I love that. And you're gonna be my special counsel from now on, that's for sure.
Great. Agreed.
If you guys have questions or you want to send in an email, radioactivedads@gmail.com. That's radioactivedads@gmail.com. Or you could hit us up on Twitter or whatever. But you know, if you need more than 140 characters or whatever it is, that's the email. Nathan, wrap this puppy up, but do it quickly because we're out of time.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Again, Haley, thank you for your question. We love speaking to you, and we're going to do it again next week. So in the meantime, please just look out for each other. I know selection's crazy, but just be a friend, be a decent person. We love you. Wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you next week.
It's a classy place, eh?
Yeah.